Well, once again today, we're continuing our series through the Bible called The Bible, A True Story. If you've been with us, you know that we've been cruising through the Bible. It's not a chapter by chapter, verse by verse kind of thing. We've just been cruising through the Bible the past 4 or 5 months, looking at some of the great stories, some of the great men and women from the Bible that I really believe help us understand more about God and understand who He's calling us to be. In the last few weeks, we found ourselves in Joshua, the book of Joshua. Now, you may remember last week we read about the well-known Battle of Jericho and this amazing victory that the Israelites experienced there at Jericho. And as we read that story last week, there was actually a little foreshadowing, all right, of what was to come. And if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Joshua chapter 7. We're gonna read that in just a second. But the thing is before the defeat of Jericho, before they went to battle Jericho, God had given Joshua some very specific orders about what was to happen after the walls came tumbling down. And He gave them some specific orders. Two things that were supposed to take place. The first was they were supposed to destroy every living thing except for Rahab and her family. And then the second thing is that all the devoted things, meaning all the valuables, the gold, silver, bronze, iron, all these things were to be dedicated to the Lord's treasury. They were to go into the treasury of the Lord. I want to actually read to you two verses that we read last week in Joshua 6 before we get into 7. I actually have it on the board so you don't have to flip there. But it says this in Joshua 6, 18 through 19. It says this, "But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go in His treasury." Now, this is a command that God gave to Moses and to the people of Israel. And so I want us to keep this in mind as we now read chapter 7 of Joshua, because you'll see the foreshadowing that I was talking about. So Joshua 7, 1 through 26 this morning, this is what it says. "But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, 'Go up and spy out the region.' So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, 'Not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there.' So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gates as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, sovereign Lord, why do you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?' The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction." Verse 13, "Go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord chooses shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan the Lord chooses shall come forward, family by family. And the family the Lord chooses shall come forward, man by man. Whoever is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel." Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was chosen. The clans of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. He had the clan of Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was chosen. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and I took them. They are hidden in the ground under inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him, and after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. Wow, right? Now, as I think of this story, I wonder if any of you remember ABC's Wide World of Sports. Do you guys remember Wide World of Sports? It was a sports show that it usually aired on Saturday mornings back in the, well, really from like the 60s to mid-80s, I think it was. But I watched it in the late 70s and 80s. And being a huge sports fan, I love sports. And so I loved ABC's Wide World of Sports. It didn't matter what it was. I mean, if it was ski jumping for a while, man, I wanted to be a ski jumper, you know. Gymnastics, I wanted to be a gymnast, you know. It didn't matter what it was. Weightlifting, I remember I would go out there with, like, you know, a few things on the bar of my brother-in-law, and I'd be like, you know, lifting like these weightlifters, you know, that lifted these massive weights. It didn't matter what it was. Whatever it was, I loved watching Wide World of Sports. But what I remember most about the show was the intro to this show. Some of you may be familiar with this intro. I could almost quote for you exactly what was said, and I was going to do that for you this morning, but I actually found a clip on YouTube of the intro, and I thought maybe this will kind of jar your memory a little bit. For those of you that are over the age of 35, probably, I think if you're under 35, you might be like, "What is he talking about? Wide World of Sports?" You know, but I want to play for you this morning, real quickly, just the intro. This was like in the 1983 intro. Mm-hmm.
spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This is ABC's Wide World of Sport.
Maybe that brought back some memories for some of you. I know for me, it's like I almost get goosebumps just watching it, you know. I love that intro narrated by the late Jim McKay, man. He was an amazing sportscaster, and I loved his voice. But there's that one line, you hear that is so famous, that it's huge, when it says, the thrill of victory, right? And you have, and that changed. That changed throughout the years. I was looking at a bunch of different ones. You know, you've got the race car driver shooting off the champagne on one. You've got the kids that won the World Series. You know, it was one of the first times one of the American kids had won the World Series, the World Series. You know, for kids. And there's many different ones of the thrill of victory. But then it says the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And every single time on the agony of defeat is that ski jumper going off the edge of the thing. And what's funny is that guy's famous because of this. He was a horrible skier. He just was learning. As a matter of fact, if you watch, I actually watched because of this. I went and watched the very first the actual jump. And the announcers are like, oh, last time he crashed when he hit the bottom kind of thing. He said, or he didn't land it right, and we're hoping he can do a little bit better this time. You know, he's new to the sport and trying to, you know, make his country known in this sport. And the next thing you know, boom, and I think that was the last time that he ever ski jumped. He didn't break anything, thankfully, just very bruised up and a little bit of a concussion. But what's funny is when you find out, I read a little bit about this guy. His country, he's a nobody. Nobody knows him. But in the United States, he's famous. And Wide World of Sports, every time they have a show that kind of celebrates that, they bring him on. And everyone like cheers him. He gets standing ovations and stuff. All because of this agony of defeat. But here's the thing. The reason I even talk about that is because when I was thinking about this, that line pretty much sums up Joshua 6. And Joshua 7, right? Joshua 6, it was the thrill of victory. They did it. They were going to take the promised land, and the walls of Jericho crumbled to the ground, and it was this thrill of victory. And in their very next battle, it was the agony of defeat. And I think that that line can actually even summarize our own lives at times, right? One minute we can be living in victory, right? Things be going well. We find ourselves then, maybe in the next moment, begin to experience defeat and struggles and challenges. And the fact is that in a fallen world, we can be riding high sometimes on just this kind of cloud because of maybe some great spiritual success. You know, maybe we've been doing well and serving God and things are going well. But then the very next moment, we can find ourselves in the valley of spiritual failure and defeat. This is what I believe happened here for the Israelites. And we realize as we read through the scriptures, it was all because of the failure of a man named Achan. Now, some people look at Bible passages like this and come to the conclusion that when bad things happen to Christians, it must be because they've done something wrong. They've done something to deserve it. We sometimes feel like anything happens and it's like, oh, what did you do to deserve it, right? What caused that to happen? What did you do that God's angry with you? That it's this judgment falling upon us, right? But I don't think that that's always the case. The truth is, trials and tragedies are a natural part of living in a fallen and broken world. And I think God's people often suffer through situations that are really no fault of their own. Not because they sinned or did something wrong, but because we live in a fallen world. I think Job is a great example of this, right? Job went through horrible things. And it had nothing to do with him. Now, I believe it's true that God does sometimes use adversity and challenges in our life. He allows us to go through these things to wake us up at times, right? To maybe point out things that we maybe need to change or look at or observe in our lives. And I believe that sometimes we may experience difficulties and challenges for the same reason that Israel did here, because of sin that we've failed to deal with or repent of. And so there's many reasons, which is why it's important that when we go through these times in our life, when we go through the ups and the downs, is that we ask ourselves some questions. Is God trying to show me something here? Is He trying to get me attention? Are there things I'm dealing with as a result of sin in my own life? Or maybe it's not sin. Maybe we have to ask some questions like, is there something that God is just trying to teach me through this struggle? Or is there something that He wants me to learn from this trial that I'm facing? But bottom line, we ask ourselves, why? Right? We go through that question, Lord, why? What is going on, Lord? Because if I brought this struggle upon myself, I want to know so that I can fix it, that I can correct it. We see this in the Scriptures. That's exactly what Joshua does here, right? When the Israelites experienced this setback, he fell face down before the Lord and he began to seek answers. He wanted to know, why, God? Why is this going on? Why would you bring us this victory and then give us this defeat? What's caused this death of so many people? And through a series of events, God showed him that it was because of the sin of this one man, Achan. And because of Achan, Israel experienced this defeat. They went from the thrill of victory in Jericho to the agony of defeat here in Ai. And I think it's important for us to realize that the seed of defeat that we see here in Ai was planted at the moment of Israel's triumph over Jericho. Something that we as Christians, whether we realize it or not, can all relate to. You see, when we struggle with problems in our lives, and when we face walls, when we face obstacles and difficulties that often seem impossible to overcome, what do? More often than not, we cry out to God, right? We say, God, what's going on? We need you. And the reality is as we cry out to Him, we recognize our need for the Lord. As we're facing difficulties, as we're facing challenges, we realize how much we need Him. And so what do? We seek Him more. We spend more time in prayer. We begin to listen and we walk in obedience, right? We're making sure we're doing the things that we need to do because we want to get out of this mess. And oftentimes as we do that, as we're seeking the Lord, as we're giving Him our all, as we're making sure we're walking in obedience, then God in His mercy will come alongside of us and often give us strength to get through or oftentimes lead us to victory where we can experience that thrill of victory. And we find ourselves in this kind of spiritual high. Yes, things are good. God is blessing me. It's an amazing thing. And we're walking on clouds, right? For a while, anyways. But then what happens? As things are going good, as God continues to bless us, we get comfortable, right? And then we're not making sure each morning that we're spending time with the Lord. Well, you know, yeah, I'll get back to you in a minute, God, because why? Things are good. Things are going well. And so we don't always begin, or we don't give God the time that He needs. We don't seem to recognize how much we need Him even when things are going good. And the next thing we know, our life is starting to look similar to how it did before when we had to cry out to Him. And I wonder if this is what happened to Achan. It's easy for us to get caught up in this cycle. This cycle that we saw take place here for Achan. And so this morning, I want to talk about four phases of this cycle. something that I've titled, I was kind of praying about this, trying to figure out what do I title this, something that I've titled, The Common Sin Cycle of a Christian. The Common Sin Cycle of a Christian. And I think this, that if we are aware of this cycle, if we are aware of the different phases, and if we can identify sometimes where we're at in these phases, then I think we have a better chance of experiencing more victories. We have a better chance of experiencing more of that thrill of victory and hopefully experiencing less of the agony that defeat can bring to our lives. And so let's take a look at each stage and how it affects us. First stage is this, carelessness. Carelessness. How often have we heard it said, well, it's just a little lie. Come on. It's just a little sin. Who's it really going to hurt? Right? The thing is sin is like a small pebble that you throw into a pond. When you throw that pebble in the pond, you don't really know how far those ripples are going to go. You think, well, it's just a little pebble, but if you watch, if you've ever just thrown a pebble into a quiet pond, a little pebble can cause ripples that go a lot farther than you would ever expect. We never know who or even how many people that sin will ultimately affect when we go down those roads. I mean, after all, if you think about it, it was just a little bite. Right? It was just a little bite from the forbidden fruit that did what? It brought pain and destruction upon all of mankind. And in our reading this morning, it was just one robe and a little bit of silver, a little bit of gold. It wasn't that much, right? He could hide it underneath his stuff in his tent. It was just a little bit, right? And it brought this humiliating defeat to the Israelites. 36 people were killed because of that little sin. And as we look at this story in Joshua 7, I think it's important for us to ask this question. Who was this person Achan? Who was Achan? Can we just kind of dismiss him as nothing more than a thief with a lust for robes and silver and gold and whatever, a lust for money and power, that he was just something, that was just who he was. He was a sinner. We don't know. I mean, he was just someone that he lusted after these things. It's just who he was. Or is Achan more like us than we want to admit? Why did he take these things? Why did he sin? Why was he disobedient? Why do we do the things we do? Why do we sin at times? Why at times are we disobedient? There are many things that can lead down the road to carelessness. I want to just give you a few examples this morning. One of those is fear or security. I think these two words kind of go hand in hand. This fear and of security. Maybe Achan feared the future and thought that these items would help kind of secure his future for him and his family. How many times have we feared the future and do things that God wouldn't call us to do, but we got to do it because we're worried about, is God really our provider? And this fear causes us to do things, but this kind of fear, it can be dangerous. Because here's the thing, when we're high in fear, we're often low in faith, right? When we're high in fear in this area of security, we're low in faith. We're not really trusting in the Lord. We allow fear to get the best of us. And when we allow ourselves to operate in fear, we can often become careless about sin. Think about it. How many of us have allowed fear or this desire for security to control the decisions that we make? How many of us have allowed these fears to actually cause us to become careless in our relationship with the Lord. It's a trap we're all capable of falling into, this thing called fear, the security. Another thing that can lead us down the road of carelessness is this little thing called pride. Maybe Achan thought he deserved these things. How often have we felt like, wait, I deserve this? Have you seen what I do? I'm a model Christian, right? I deserve these things. Pride can be a dangerous thing, because when we begin to think we deserve things, or when we begin to think that we're something special, when we begin to think, well, I'm not as bad as them, well, I'm better than that, when we begin to think that we're something special, we have a tendency to become careless. A lot of times in our respect and our obedience to the Lord. We can't forget Proverbs 16:18. If you don't know what that is, you will when I say it. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride comes before a fall. Because pride causes us to become careless. It can cause us to think sometimes that maybe we're even above the law. We're above these things. And that's a scary place to be. God talks about humility. Humility. Pride will bring the fall. Humility brings the blessing. Another thing that can lead us down the road to carelessness is this thing called impatience. Maybe Achan took these things because he lacked patience. Because he was impatient. He wanted this instant gratification. Oh, I gotta have it now. He couldn't wait. I need it now. I can't wait now, right? How often are we impatient? How often do we go for the instant gratification instead of patiently waiting for what God has for us? I've come to learn that sin is oftentimes us trying to take a shortcut to something that God is actually wanting to eventually give us in the first place. But we can't wait. You see, if we were to read on to the next chapter, if Achan had been patient, we would see that in chapter 8, God told the people of Israel that at their next battle, they could take all the plunder for themselves. It was this first battle that God said, all the devoted things come to me. But in the next battle, God said, you can have it all. If Achan would have only been patient, if he could have just waited, he could have had many robes, he could have had all kinds of gold and silver. Truth is, we're not that different from Achan. We too have a tendency to become careless. Whether it's because of fear, this idea of security, whether it's pride, whether it's impatience, we've all been there. And when we become careless about sin, it leads to the second stage that we experience in this cycle, because carelessness unfortunately leads to consequence. It leads to consequences. Achan's careless disobedience here brought disaster not just to himself, but to his family and to the nation of Israel. Oftentimes we think our secret little sins, that they're not hurting anybody. Oh, come on, who's it really hurting? But the reality is all sin has its consequences. Yes, God forgives us. God is gracious in that. But even though He forgives us, it doesn't mean that we don't still face consequences. And the longer that we dwell in sin, the greater those consequences become in our life. Now, The good thing is I believe that God is patient with us. I shared last week that He gave the people of Jericho 40 years. He gave them 40 years to change their mind, to quit doing the things that they were doing, to turn from their wicked ways before He finally said, okay, enough is enough. I believe that God is patient with us in dealing with our sin. But here's the thing, if we don't deal with the sin in our lives, the fact is God will. That eventually God will say, okay, I've given you opportunity. I've given you the ability to deal with this and you haven't. And so He deals with it. And when He does, we will experience the consequences. And that's a scary thing. And the sad thing is those consequences don't just affect us. They often end up affecting the ones that we love as well. And the sad thing is this is where, in this cycle, I think this is where many people get stuck. They get stuck in this situation because they've been careless and they're in the midst of these consequences. And they continue to deal with these consequences, trying to figure out, how do I move on? Frustrated with where they're at. And the thing is there's really only one way that we can break out of this part of the cycle. And we have to come to the point where we recognize our failures. We recognize where we fell short. We have to come to the point where we see the consequences of our actions. And then we have to give them to the Lord, which leads us to the third stage in this cycle. The only way to get out of this rut that we often find ourselves in, to get out of this place of consequences, is repentance. To repent. And repentance, it's turning to God. It's turning to God and saying, God, I've messed up. I failed to walk in obedience. It's coming to that place where we confess our sins, we confess our failures to the Lord, where we say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Make me whole again. That's repentance. It's turning from our sin and turning to God. Because the problem is, a lot of times that's the problem. We want to continue in the sin. And when we continue in the sin, we continue in the consequences of that sin. But when we repent and say, okay, Lord, I've messed up. I need Your help. When we turn, because that's what repentance is. The word repentance means to turn. It means to literally make a 180-degree turn. To turn from your sin and to come back to God. And so we have to come to that point where we recognize and we turn from our sin and we come back to the Lord. I want to read a little passage because it's really amazing what God does when we turn back to Him. I want to read a passage from Hosea. In this passage, God is speaking about Israel. He's speaking to Israel really here as a bride, as a wife. Okay, and He's speaking to Israel as if she's committed adultery, as a wife who has betrayed the marriage covenant. Listen to the Lord here in Hosea 2, verses 13 through 15. I have it on the screen so you can follow along. It says, I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, other gods, seeking other gods. But me she forgot, declares the Lord. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards, and I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. This is an interesting scripture because at first, the Lord's words, man, they seem harsh and angry, right? He talks of punishing Israel for its infidelity, for worshiping other gods. But then in verse 14, it turns and he goes on to declare His gracious love for the people of Israel. And he says he will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. What is the valley of Achor? It's the place where Achan was executed. We read about it earlier, verse 26. God, through the prophet Hosea, tells us that this place where Achan confessed his sin, where he paid the price of his consequences, this place shall become a door of hope. We have to understand repentance is our hope. It's the door of hope out of this place that we find ourselves stuck in. When we confess our sins and quit living a life of disobedience, when we finally turn to the Lord, we pass through this door of hope and begin to experience the stage that I think all of us want to experience, which is the final stage, the stage of restoration. You see, Joshua dealt with the sin that had brought the agony of defeat upon Israel. And because he dealt with it, because they did what God told him to do, restoration was taking place. And we see, if you were to continue to read in the first verse of the next chapter, in chapter 8, the Lord declares once again to Israel that he will deliver the people of Ai, the people that had just defeated them, he will deliver them into their hands. We see here God restored Israel after this devastating defeat. And the thing is, I believe he wants to do the same with all of us. The question, I think, for all of us this morning in that is, where are we at in this cycle? Where are we at in this cycle that we've talked about this morning? Are we experiencing victory? Are we at that place, the thrill of victory? If so, my encouragement to us this morning, for those that are experiencing that victory, is that we don't forget who gave us the victory. That we don't forget the Lord. We can't allow ourselves to kind of get comfortable and to begin to become careless. We have to remember that just because we are victorious today doesn't mean that the battles won't continue to come. The battle rages on, and if we want to continue to experience the victories, we need to make sure we continue to put God first, that we continue to walk in His obedience. Now, maybe for some of you this morning, as I walk through this cycle, you're realizing that you've been careless. And maybe that's the stage that you find yourself in. If so, my first encouragement to us this morning, if we're in that stage of carelessness, is to go to the Lord right now before the consequences catch up to us. Before the consequences get worse than they need to be. Like I said earlier, the longer we dwell in sin, the greater the consequences become. We have to repent now and save ourselves from some of the struggles and heartache. Maybe this morning we find ourselves in the stage of consequences. And we're feeling stuck, like, man, there's no way out. What's the answer, Lord? And if so, like I mentioned before, there's really only one way out. And that's repentance. It's saying, Lord, forgive me. Doesn't mean that the consequences are all of a sudden going to go away magically, okay? There's still the consequences. But when we say, God, forgive us, and we seek Him, He comes alongside us and then takes our hand and walks us through those things. He gives us that strength to continue. We have to give it to the Lord. And maybe there's things that you've dealt with in your life, or maybe there's sins that you've done and it's eating you up. And I want to encourage you, there is power in confession. There is power in telling someone. The Bible talks about, you know, we confess to the Lord, but when we confess to one another, it brings healing to our lives. And so I would encourage you, tell a friend. If you need to talk to, if you don't want to tell a friend, come talk to me or my wife or some of our leadership in this church. Find someone that you can go and talk to, but do something. Tell someone, confess, get these things off of your chest so that you can begin to live the life that God has called you to live. God cares less about the sin and more in what we do after the sin. And when we are able to confess and give it to the Lord, it's then that we can begin to experience His healing in our life. And it's then that we come to that final stage, a place of restoration, where we can experience the thrill of victory in our lives. And I believe that's where God wants us to stay. But it's so easy for us to get caught up in this cycle. It's so easy for us to, when everything's going well, to just kind of forget about God. And my encouragement to you this morning is don't forget who it is that brought you to those places of victory in the first place. Continue to seek the Lord. Continue to walk in that victory. Like I said, it doesn't mean we're not going to face difficulties and challenges. But when you are continuing to seek the Lord and continuing to walk in obedience, when those difficulties come, you don't have to go, God, is it something I did? Because you know, man, Lord, I've been serving you, and I just know that this is a natural trial and tribulation that happens for being in a fallen world. But when we're walking in sin and we're in these places that we shouldn't, then we got to go, okay, Lord, is this because of me? Because I don't want that. I need to give these things to you. And so this morning, it's a tragic story as we see the thrill of victory and then the agony of defeat. But Achan is a reminder that we don't need to experience these things. We don't have to go down this road if we choose to walk in obedience to the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your hand upon our lives. Lord, you are a God that loves us. You are a God that cares for us. And the reality is, Lord, it's not that you want to bring consequences to us. It's that you desire us to walk in obedience and the things of you because you know that sin brings consequences, Lord. Sin separates us from you and it brings difficulty and pain into our lives. And so, Lord, you desire us. You set up these things, Lord, not because you are a God that rules with an iron fist. You are a God that understands the things of this fallen world only bring heartache and pain, but the things of you bring joy and comfort, Lord. And so we want to be people who understand that. And because of our love for you and our desire to live the life that you've called us to live, we want to walk in obedience. We want to do the things of you because we want to experience your goodness and grace upon our life. And so, Lord, help us. Lord, help us not to make the kind of mistake that Achan made here. Lord, help us not to continue in this cycle of doing well for a period of time but then becoming careless and failing to remember who you are and the fact that you have brought us the victories, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray for each of us that you just speak to us where we're at. Where are we in this cycle? Where are we in our life with you? Lord, you can reveal these things to us. You can draw us into your presence. And Lord, that's my prayer. This morning as we prayed for dry bones to come alive, Lord, we want to continue to lift up those who don't know you. And we do that because we know the joy of knowing you, Lord. We know how our lives are different because of what you've done in and through us. And so we want to continue to seek you. We want to continue to love you and live the lives that you've called us to live and pray that you help each of us, Lord, in that journey of following you. Now I know too, Lord, that the reality is we live in a fallen world and we're going to make mistakes. None of us can be perfect. But I pray that you just help us to keep plugging in. And when we fall short, Lord, that we pick ourselves up, we repent and ask for your forgiveness and we begin to move forward, Lord. We thank you for just the God that you are, Lord, that you care so much about us and that you have provided a way for us to continue to come back to you in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our weakness, Lord. We thank you for these things this morning, Lord. Again, may we be encouraged today that, Lord, we don't want to focus on the sin. We want to focus on you, Lord. We don't want to try not to sin. We want to try to serve you, Lord. And so we just pray that you give us that strength to live the lives that you've called us to live. We give you today. We give you these things. May your word just reach each of us where we are and speak to us in the way that you want to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.